Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus loves that stuff. God loves that stuff when you come to him and you say, Lord, I don't feel this, but your Bible says this, and I am going to apply my newly rewired mind now and ask you to do an amazing work in my heart and my life, and he'll do it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, continues a series called The Why Series. As Christians, we all know that truthful answers are pretty much hard to come by these days, and that's especially true if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found right there in the pages of Scripture. So, if we are made in the image of God, like the Bible says, and we are, why as human beings, then, do we struggle so much? How can we take control of our thought life or get a hold of our emotions? When sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, life suddenly went terribly wrong. But the good news is, our minds can be renewed. Now, if we were made to glorify God, which we were, then it is possible to enjoy our lives with him. And now in his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Last Wednesday night so far has been viewed by 359,000 people. Why? Why? Because people want to know, is there hope, instruction for my mind? Can I get answers? Someone's asking. Can I change? Someone is asking. And the glorious news to that is absolutely. When we looked a moment ago and read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ, the Bible tells us that God sovereignly imparts this meaning of having the mind of Christ to the believer. Listen, church, it doesn't mean... Oh, and by the way, if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to listen carefully. When God imparts the mind of Christ to the believer, it doesn't mean that you're Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're the Messiah. It doesn't mean that you're the Savior. It means that via, through, by the Word of God available to you in Christ Jesus, look at this. We have access to the mind of God, meaning that we have access to the revealed word of God. It's all sufficient. If you want to know what God thinks about something, God is saying, look at my book. If you want to know what God feels or what God has intended about something, look at the book. This book, the Bible, is the revealed will of God to mankind. As I've often said, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's proven. And so when we talk about how can I possibly have the mind of Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that will take the infused Word, the Bible, in your life, and he will use it. And I want you to have this picture tonight. This may be clumsy, but I want to put on the screen this image of the temple. Or a depiction of the temple. And so I want you to be thinking about tonight the mind. And I want to be done in 20 minutes so we can get to your questions and get some answers, I hope. Because I know we haven't had a Q&A in a while. When you look at the temple, you can go in all kinds of directions regarding the temple. What I want you to look at is if you would view the temple as you. And you might say, Jack, that's a pretty mystical weirdness. No, it's not. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are now the temple of the living God as believers. The Bible says that God doesn't want to live in a house made with hands. He wants to live inside the human being. Number one, friend, that should bring you hope for your mind, and it should bring you hope for your life. God says, I don't want this external experience. I want to be inside of you. So watch this. When you look at the functioning of the temple, and I'll be brief on this, you would enter up to the Temple Mount area. You would approach. So figuratively speaking, It is built within mankind to approach the things of God or gods or spirituality. Can I say that? Maybe tonight you're watching or you're here tonight and you're very, very spiritual individual. You're very, very spiritual. You've got a crystal, you have a pyramid, you have a Bible, you have the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you have a Quran, you have the Torah, you've got the bumper sticker on your car that says coexist. And that's you, and because you're very spiritual. And you would be out here. This is you out here in the outer court of things, okay, of life or in relationship to the God of the Bible. But when you begin to wake up to truth, you begin to seek God, and you would go here for those reference sake. Over here would be the Golden or Eastern Gate. So back where the sound or the main doors are at, that would be the Temple Mount. I'm sorry, that's the Temple Mount. That would be the Mount of Olives. So the Judean wilderness is that way. When you come out of the east, westerly, you would come, and this is the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. You'd come in here, and these courts are named. There's the court of the women. There's the court of the Gentiles. But do you see these steps right here? Can you see that? It's kind of hard to see. But do you see those steps? By the way, just before Jesus was crucified, he stood right there. He never went past here. He would not go past here for a reason. He stood right here, and he took water, and he poured water down those steps, and he said, I am. Or the priest would have poured water down those steps. As soon as the priest would have done that on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood there and said, I am the water of life. The great menorahs that were burning around the temple, the day that they extinguished them because the festival was over, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The correlation's amazing. So this court, you would draw a little bit closer to God. If you go past into this area here, you enter into the area where the bronze laver or the sacrifice of the animals would be here in the burnt offering. And then the priest would go through this area, and you see how the artist has cut this out. And there's a veil here. Remember when Jesus died and the veil of the temple was torn? This veil would have been ripped open. That's inside of here, okay? For those of you on this side. And then back inside here, this is the holy place, and then there's the Holy of Holies. This model of the temple and the Word of God reveals for us as humans exactly what God desires. He approaches us with similitudes and types, the Bible says, and this is one of those things. God is not interested in a physical temple. He's trying to announce to us, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me and draw near to me. And as you draw closer to him, you need sacrifice. You need atonement. You need blood of the innocents to allow you to come into his presence. Once you come into his presence, everything inside that area is sanctified to God and it is declared holy. You take that picture. This is a person that might be religious. This is a person that might be, you know, labeled a Christian or grew up in church, owns a Bible, I don't know what. And then this person's over here is a legalistic individual, and that's all they really care about. But then there are the few. Jesus said there's a few, and I hope all the few, right, that you are the few, that you press into Christ, you go through the veil. The book of Hebrews is all about this taking place in your life, in your heart, in your mind. The mind, think of your existence as being like that temple. And what goes on out here matters because of what goes on inside here. And when we talk about the mind, we're talking about an area that you and I deal with first. I'm going to give you quickly some things tonight, and then I want to open it up to questions because it's been a while. Will you mark this down, please? We talked about the mind these last 2 weeks. Right now, what do we do? What do we do about it? Number one, these are four things, by the way, that are very personal to me. They work. It works for me, and maybe it'll work for you. And I believe it will because it's totally the Word of God. Number one, when we talk about dealing with our own minds, can I be healed? Can I have new thoughts? Can I conquer the thoughts that plague my life? Can I get away from the past sins of my life or the things that were done against me, which causes me to think of certain people with a justified, a holy anger because they did this or they did that. And that's all of these things that trap us. Number one, write down the word preparing, preparing. Regarding your mind, preparing, and I mean it this way, your mind has to be rewired. Just put it down. It may not make any sense to you right now. Just please do it. Preparing. Whenever we approach the Bible for healing, for instruction, for power, in this setting, for having a renewed mind, we determine right now, I'm going to take the Word of God and I am going to go after this area of my life. My mind is not functioning right. I'm prone as a believer to be condemned. I'm prone as a believer to be doubting or faithless, all of these things. What do I do? Prepare. Preparing. We talk about devotions. We talk about reading our Bibles. We talk about going to Bible study. All of these things, it's external. It's external, friend. We're just going through religious things unless we are purposing in our heart to get prepared. We're just going to church unless we all take this seriously, right? I want to believe that you, we are here because we don't want to do church. We want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be serious about our experience with God. And so because of that, I want to come prepared. I want to come to my Bible in the morning prepared. I want to come to church prepared. I want to get to work prepared. I want to get on the freeway prepared. Are you talking? You know what I'm saying? Everything. You say, how do I do that? My mind is all over the place, or I'm fine unless I go down that street, or I'm okay unless I see that person. The answer is getting prepared. Getting your mind rewired. God says in the Bible, He gives us a brand new heart. I wish He did that for our minds, but He didn't. He says, you're gonna have to have your mind renewed. You take this seriously. And I love the fact that right now, I can tell someone today or tonight, I'm not a believer. I don't believe in this stuff. Are you willing to believe? No, I'm willing to, I'm open-minded. Then I tell you, do you have an issue in life? What's your problem? Because how many people came to Jesus with problems? They came, exactly, all of them. And then he revealed himself to them in the midst of their problem. Go to him, even as a doubter, and say, okay, I want to do this. I want to see, God, if this is all real about who you are and what you can do. They came to Jesus, many came to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. Heal my son. My daughter's dead. Whatever the situation is. Number one, preparing. Determine to be preparing regarding your mind. And I like to look at it this way. Friends, when you approach the Bible, think about a blade. I know we don't think like this because we don't live in this kind of a culture, but it's the best. Think of a blade of a farmer going into rough, hard soil. The rough, hard soil we can relate to. Imagine a sharp blade of the plowman going into that earth and turning it over. And what's hard and impacted, what is on the top goes on the bottom, and what's underneath comes up top. That's what you need to be thinking when you open up your Bible. I'm not going to do it because I'm supposed to do it. I'm going to do it to have my life prepared. And I start with my mind, to prepare my mind. And this is what we do regarding that. Number one, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. This is a prayer. The psalmist is asking God to move on in. Try me and know my anxieties or thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. How do I prepare my mind? Right there. Start memorizing that verse. Tomorrow morning, get up and read that verse. Ask God, Lord, you search my heart. And by the way, regarding my thoughts, the anxieties of my mind, I invite you in. Hosea, we're going to go fast. Hosea 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, 12, getting back to the soil. Listen to this. Sow for yourselves righteousness. You know what that means? That means get up and determine. I'm going to live tomorrow. Tomorrow's, what is tomorrow? Thursday. I'm getting up Thursday. And Lord, I am going to prepare my mind before I go out into this world. And I'm going to ask you right now, Lord, to lead me in the way of righteousness. You present yourself to that. Reap in mercy. Here it is. Break up your fallow ground, hard ground. Break it up. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. This is a promise from God. So Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm asking you to do righteousness in my life today. I give you my mind. Lord, in Jesus' name, I give you my mind. Hey, can I encourage you? I pray that probably 10 times a day. A thought will wander. I know none of you have this problem. My thought will wander somewhere and God will say, yes, Lord, please forgive me. My goodness, that was, God, I agree with you. That was sick. Help me now. And in an instant, he's there. And I love it. He turns on the lights. And most often, I have to tell you, it's as though he's given me a hug of encouragement. When I govern my own thoughts, it's a pounding of me. Jack, you bad, bad Christian, you. The Lord, listen. Those of you who live in certain parts of England, you're not going to want to hear this, but I did a bad, I won't even use the word, but I was speaking in London and the church was there. And I said, when God is dealing with us, children, he always comes in a way when he spanks us, he hits us this way. It's always scooping us. It's encouraging. He scoops us with the spank upward. And I used a different word that we all use. And it was not a good word in England. Everybody went, oh, well, I mean this in an encouraging way. When God disciplines or corrects, it's always, he catches us right there and it's always, he never comes down like that on his kids. He doesn't do it. He won't do it. Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. All of this is rewiring your mind. Which begs this question, what do you allow into your mind, you see? What is it in your mind that you're allowing? I saw one of your kids tonight walking around campus. Kid's got to be 9 years old walking around. And tonight walking and almost bumped into a planter. Because the kid is on the, I don't know, Facebook, something, I don't know. And I just thought, my goodness, that little kid's too young to have a phone, in my opinion, but that little kid almost just fell into a ditch there. Yet her face was illuminated with light. You could see the face glowing from the light. But it wasn't the right light. It wasn't the right illumination. And we're distracted. What are we allowing into our minds, into our hearts? Really matters, friends. It really matters. And I know you guys are Wednesday nighters. You're super devoted to God. Not like those Sunday people. You all get all this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. It says, but be, and the word in the Greek is active this way. It's but be, being transformed, continuing. Hallelujah, right? God says, just keep being transformed. By the what? Renewing of your mind. Rewiring your mind. Circuits that have been there and the information has flowed over them for decades, perhaps entire lifetime. And there's a groove. That's a pattern of thinking, the way that you think, the way that you process the situation around you, and you're stuck. And here's a hint. When people say to you, you always say that. Or I didn't mean that. Why do you always take it that way? You're wired a certain way. And that needs to be addressed. And God will rewire your mind with the word of God. As we get older, God help us. But if we don't get a grip on this, as we get older, you know, old people are cute, but they get they have a tendency to get real bitter. And I understand that. You live a long time. You got a lot of mileage. There's a lot of people that had the opportunity to hurt you for a long time. You could build up scars. And yet Jesus said, you need to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to be growing more like a child as we age rather than becoming childish. Amen. And you say, well, how do I do that? You cannot do it. God will do it. Amen. Lord, renew my mind. You've promised me in the Bible that I can have the mind of Christ. Lord, I'm going to hold you to that in my prayer. Isn't that what the woman was thinking, so to speak, when she grabbed the hem of the garment? She said to herself, I'm going to go touch the hem of his garment and I'm going to be healed. When the centurion said, Jesus, look, I'm under authority. I understand how that works. I have people that are under my authority. They know how that works. I get all that. I know that you're under your Father's authority. You don't need to do anything. You just, Jesus, just speak the word. And I know that my servant's going to be made whole. Just go ahead, do your thing. Jesus loves that stuff. God loves that stuff when you come to him and you say, Lord, I don't feel this, but your Bible says this, and I am going to apply my newly rewired mind now and ask you to do an amazing work in my heart and my life, and he'll do it. Number two, protecting. Protecting. Your mind has to be guarded. No one can do this for you. I wrote in my notes, taking a militant approach to governing your mind. I believe that. That's why I wrote that down. I've shared with you, maybe it was last week, about a militant approach to guarding your mind. You've got to be very active to guard your mind. You have to work at that. Our mind's wide open. I'm remembering this week, I don't know why, somebody at home, I don't even want to think of what song it was. There was this ridiculously silly jingle. It's a cartoon song. That's about the depth of our home. We love the cartoons. But this jingle, you all know it. Thank God, God's protecting my mind right now from remembering it. Because you know that when it gets in, you can't get it out? Listen, the more that we're ingesting whatever it is, the more it sets its groove. And the more we need to be either careful in that area or very liberal in that area. Liberal meaning to let it all in. If it's God and the things of God, let it all in. Let the word in. Let the word wash and flood you. If it's the world, that's another thing. And today we have Christians that are pulled, and they allow themselves to be pulled in all kinds of directions and being pulled apart because something's got a hold of their memory. Something's got a hold of the tunes in their head. And it's dangerous.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life, a process we can logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, there's a website resource that you can click on right now. It's the tab at our website called Know God. So why is that so important to you? Well, this resource answers the most critical question of life: where do we go when we die? God designed us to live on past this world, and because he loves us so much, he wants us to live forever with him. But we've been separated from God through sin, and that should have ended our chance for heaven. But the good news is, God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have eternal life forever with him. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab labeled Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God, and that's at jackhibbs.com. We're sure that you'll find the answers to your future that you've been searching for. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.